Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network college football analyst. NCAA. Mullion Hawes, college football expert.
Mullion Hawes, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Jerry DiNardo joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Morning, Jerry.
I'm doing great. Good morning.
Well, Michigan got a big win over Iowa, 10-3. Is that a big win? I mean, they needed to win the game. They got the win. And, you know, we were talking about poor Jim Harbaugh. Boy, he's going to be run out. He's not. He doesn't want to be staying at his alma mater. And by the end of that game, you were wondering what's wrong with Iowa.
Yeah, no doubt, but good win. You know, as you study the tape, a little bit of caution. You know, they've done a good job on defense defending pro-style attacks, although they didn't against Wisconsin. So that's improvement. But defensively, until they can stop a good explosive spread, we really don't know how many strides they made defensively. Because I think they needed to do some work during the offseason about maybe tweaking some of their concepts. Offensively, they have to become more explosive, as we know. It's just taking more time than we all thought it would. So, yes, big win. But with a word of caution, if expectations are championship, there's still a bit of ways.
Jerry, I love the Urban analysis with Urban Meyer on the Big Ten Network. You guys break down tape. And this week you're looking at the Michigan defense, as you mentioned, and it is very good, had a strong game against Iowa. You look at the Wisconsin defense, and I think that is, you know, one of it's just as every bit as stout. And you wonder, who's got the best defense in the Big Ten?
Well, you know, we might not know until they all play Ohio State. I mean, they have the most explosive offense. The championship model right now is what Ohio State's doing. They're explosive on offense. They're kind of evolving back to zone coverage. I mean, that's state-of-the-art X's and O's in Columbus. So until we match all these teams up and Wisconsin plays Ohio State, you know, we're not really going to know who has the best defense, because the schedules are so different. The offenses are a little bit different. So, you know, David, I don't know. I mean, it just seems like Ohio State's head and shoulders above everybody. Let's see if they can close the gap when they play.
You know, I thought Michigan State played Ohio State pretty well. I watched that game, and then by the end of it, it's 34-10. You're kind of like, wow, Michigan State's defense isn't that good. Now Michigan State, they drop out of the top 25, and they're at Wisconsin. Wisconsin, of course, eighth in the country. How difficult is that challenge from one week to the next?
It's significant, because Wisconsin will pressure the Michigan State offense. And remember, this is a new offense, so they're going through some growing pains as a staff. You make a mistake on one Saturday, you fix it during the week. Then a new mistake comes up that you didn't anticipate because you're in a new scheme. So this is difficult for Michigan State. The most difficult thing about going against Wisconsin's defense is at times they only have two down linemen. You never know which linebackers are going to rush, which are going to drop on both run and pass. So it's a difficult scheme to get ready for. I would imagine Michigan State will have all they can handle from a coaching standpoint and an adjustment standpoint against Wisconsin, because everybody does. But Molly, you bring up, it looked like a close game against Michigan State, Ohio State. That's what this spread does. Steve Spurrier used to do this even before anybody was running the spread. When we were at LSU, you had to stop the spurts. They messed around, and then three, four touchdowns, right, rat-a-tat-tat. And that's the way college football is being played right now offensively.
You know, Northwestern, they lose a close one in Nebraska. That was a pretty tight game, Jerry. And I was surprised that Fitz went with Aiden Smith rather than Hunter Johnson at quarterback. I know the injury was part of it. Was that the only part of it? Did he play because he was injured, or because that they thought that Aiden Smith gave Northwestern a better chance to win?
You know, David, I don't know. You know, Fitz is really, really close to the vest with what he communicates to the public, and he has every right to do it. But you know, it's tough to really get a handle, and I know why he does it. He doesn't really have to give us a reason. He's allowed to run his program any way he wants. Again, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. You know, I just thought the offense looked better early in the season, and I'm surprised they're struggling this much, and especially at the quarterback position. I thought they were going to improve, but I don't know why he's doing what he's doing at quarterback, and I don't think we'll really ever find out.
Penn State, now 5-0, ranked 10th in the country, and they're set to take on number 17, Iowa. It's a primetime game. It's on ABC. Everyone's pumped up about it. And somehow this story is now about the junior safety, Jonathan Sutherland, who got a letter from a member of the alumni criticizing his dreadlocks. Come on.
You know, Molly, the only disappointment I have in this thing is that we're giving this person this much attention. I mean, we know people feel that way, right? I mean, we all live in the same country. And to give that kind of thing attention, I mean, I think James did the right thing. I appreciate what he did. But this just, I think, fuels the fire. We're living in a time when things seem to be more acceptable than they ever were to share some of these ideas. And, you know, we're all disappointed, I think, and it's just maybe it's an opportunity for us all to stand up. But, I mean, it seems like there's so many lines being crossed nowadays in this country that it's a free-for-all. And I don't, you know, to me, you know, what the heck are our young people learning? And they're looking at adults act in a manner where, you know, not too many years ago, we didn't see adults acting like this. But when people can act like this that holds high places in our society, I'm guessing the young people think that they can do it and anyone else thinks that they can do it. It's kind of a sad state of affairs.
Amen. Jerry, last weekend you were in Minneapolis and you talked to P.J. Fleck, and boy, the Gophers are 5-0. How are they 5-0?
Well, he's got them playing really well. I mean, the matchups have been good, David. I mean, you know, they have done what everyone who's building a program has to do. They're beating the teams that they match up with. In other words, when the coaches switch sidelines, it really makes a difference, right? Ryan Day can switch sidelines with Chris Ash before he was fired, and Ohio State's still going to win the game. Okay, coaching is irrelevant. Coaching is relevant when PJ has beaten these five teams. And so they've outplayed, they've outcoached, they've out-schemed, they've out-motivated. He is crazy as crazy can be, but I got to tell you, the kids love him. I was at practice Friday. It was as well-run practice as I've ever seen. He's just a different guy. And the most interesting thing about this, David, Howard and I were out Friday night making friends for the network like we usually do. And we ran into some people. We ran into some people, and we started talking about PJ. And, you know, they said, man, he's really different. And, you know, they like that he's winning, but, you know, they don't really buy into what he's doing. And I made the comment, you know, be careful what you say. I mean, this guy could, you know, he could move on. And he's the best thing for Minnesota. I mean, I think he gives us a better future than I think Jerry Kills did or Tracy Clay. That's my own personal opinion. The interesting thing, what I'm getting to, is they said, you know what, I don't know that anybody else would take him that has, I don't know that a better job in Minnesota would accept what he does. So it was interesting that they felt secure that even if he won all his games, he's always going to be at Minnesota because not everybody's going to buy that kind of coach. I thought it was a really interesting point.
It was interesting. I don't know if I agree with that, Jerry. I think that he has a lot that a lot of athletic directors might like. It's not for everybody, but it might be for the right program that needs a boost.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree. I just, but it's got to be what you would consider a better job than Minnesota. And
yeah.
You know, the row the boat, all the things that he does that are so different. Now the kids like it, but again, you walk through the facility. You know, it's not as much about the University of Minnesota as it is about his culture that was also at Western Michigan. So
right. It's
not like somebody comes in and just changes uniforms. They change a lot more than the uniforms. It'll be an interesting watch to see what happens.
They destroyed Illinois, and Illinois, I thought, looked okay against Nebraska, and then Minnesota just thumped them. Now Michigan goes in there. Where are we at with Lovie's program and where they're at this point?
Yeah, I think when you're in this situation like Lovie's in and Michigan's coming in, I think you've got to calculate, you know, what you're going to invest in this game. Again, I go back to PJ. PJ has won all his matchup games. There's a strategy to who you're playing, how you coach, how hard you work a team, how much you put in. And when you're significantly outmanned, you have to make a decision. Who am I playing after Michigan? What am I going to invest into this game? Not that you're giving up, not that you don't think you can win, but there is a strategy that is bigger than just this game against Michigan if I'm Illinois. So I'd look at the rest of my schedule. It would tell me how hard I would practice, how long I would practice, how complicated the game plan was. Because if there's matchup opponents after the Michigan game, I put that into my thinking as I'm getting ready for Michigan.
All righty, Jerry. Great stuff. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right, guys. See ya.
That is Jerry DiNardo, our Big Ten college football analyst.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.